station wagons are my favorite things, cause they're made of wood paneling, paneling, wood paneling, wood paneling, paneling.
We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Last month, automotive contributors Mark Savage and Dan Harmon discussed General Motors and Ford in particular pulling out of the sedan market. But for people who still need small, medium, and large-sized cars, there are still plenty of makes and models to choose from. Whatever happened to the family car? What has it turned into?
The classic image is of a station wagon, complete with faux wood paneling and a rooftop luggage rack chugging along the highway. That defined the American middle class for a very long time. But the last of the American full-size wagons were discontinued in 1996. And now with sedans shrinking, our automotive contributors consider what the modern family car has become.
As minivans become more luxurious and hatchback and crossovers abound, Mark Savage begins by explaining how consumer markets can drive change and create new trends for family cars.
The market changed, you know, years ago when the Chrysler came out with the minivan. That helped, you know, get rid of the station wagon for many years. Now, the station wagons have been making a little bit of a comeback of late, and I think it's just because it's a change. And, you know, the market almost always tires of something after a while, and, you know, it may be sedans right now, and it was station wagons 20 years ago or whatever. But something fills the niche, and really all cars, you know, unless they're sports cars or something like that, will move five people around fairly comfortably. And if you need room for six, then you got to get something either bigger, or you get a minivan, or you get a big SUV or something like that. But if you like sedans because they're easier to drive, they're easier to park, they're easier on gas, then, yeah, there's still plenty of choices out there. You're going to mostly be looking at Japanese, Korean, and German cars at this point then. And we're not even talking luxury cars. The luxury folks got everything they need because whatever niche is out there, somebody's got enough money to buy that vehicle, whether it's a car, truck, boat, airplane, whatever it is.
Right. So even though sedans aren't really going to be a big thing anymore and haven't for a while, but it's not like families are not spoiled for choice for options, right?
No, there's plenty of options. I mean, I was just looking through the list of cars that I've driven in the past year, and, you know, there's a lot of nice stuff out there. A Mazda 3, that's a very sporty handling car. It's nice looking. I had a VW Golf, and I know you're a big VW fan or have been over the years. Uh-huh. And, well, I had the GTI, which, of course, is super fun and fast to drive, but just a regular Golf is a nice car. A Jetta, which is up a little bit, might come closer to a medium-sized car. Great handling, good acceleration, comfortable. Most of the, you know, small cars have a little bit rougher ride just because they have a shorter wheelbase. But other than that, there's a lot of stuff. Nissan has the Sentra. Toyota's still got the Corolla, and it's got a hatchback version of that. Subaru's got an Impreza, so if you want four-wheel drive, you can get that. Honda's got the Civic. Hyundai has an Elantra. You know, I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out, but those are all cars that you're going to probably be able to get into someplace in that $22,000 to $30,000 price range, depending on do you have to have leather seats and a sunroof and all that good stuff. More and more of them, Toyota's putting more of the safety devices on everything. So even a Toyota Corolla, I think I had one, I think it was like $26,000 Corolla hatchback that I drove. And it already had, you know, blind spot warning and parking sensors and all this stuff. And it's like, well, you know, that was stuff that you could barely get on a, you know, fancier car 10 years ago. And now here it is.
And, of course, everyone is going to crossovers, which are, you know, smaller SUVs in a way. You know, those that have all-wheel drive are considered SUVs. So are those... It seems like families are going towards those. People that used to have sedans are going towards those. Even people that may want a truck are going to go towards a small SUV. It just seems like it's kind of the all-purpose vehicle now.
It really is the all-purpose vehicle, and that's what at least the marketing people tell us the selling point is, that it's versatile. Well, I could get a four-wheel drive Impreza. That's versatile too, but it doesn't have as big a storage area in the back as a Forester, say, or something like that. So. And a lot of these, what we would call small crossovers, don't automatically come with all-wheel drive. That's an option. Well, many of them are still front-wheel drive. They're on a car platform, but they have a square back. And, you know, you do have a hatch and you can toss things in the back and makes it a little more cargo room anyway. I don't think too many of them have drastically more people room than a sedan does. They just have more cargo room and it, you know, looks like I can get my giant earth ball in the back or something or whatever I want to put in there. I'm trying to think of something large. But nonetheless, yeah. So the market's moved to this. That's fine because I just got out of a Mazda CX-3, nice little crossover, had all-wheel drive, and I think it was $28,000 or $29,000. That's not bad for something, like, say, in this climate, crossovers with all-wheel drive make a lot of sense if I'm living in, you know, Florida, the southern half of the country, maybe from Louisville south. I don't need the all-wheel drive, so I can still get the crossover and it has the space, but I don't need to have the all-wheel drive system necessarily.
And so what is it that you're seeing that the family car of choice now? Now we've gone from big sedans to station wagons to SUVs.
I truly think the car of choice is kind of a midsize crossover, you know, whether that's a Chevy Traverse or, you know, something, you know, along that line. Every car maker has that, and that you can get your five people into that very comfortably and still throw a bunch of stuff in the back. Some of them now have even a third row seat that, you know, you might have to saw off your legs, or you might have to have just two-year-olds in the back, but at least you could get a couple more people in there. But I really think that's what has become, you know, the RAV4s, the CRVs, I mentioned the Forester earlier, and various things like that, that's what everybody wants, and the Tiguans of the VW world. So that's fine, and many of them still ride it on a car platform, so it's not like they are all giant high-riding tippy vehicles. I mean, that's more likely the big full-size SUVs.
Right. Well, before we started recording, I was actually just going through my list of friends and family and just remarking on what they drive, which I'm actually trying to think of who drives a sedan anymore. And there's one. There's one out of, you know, just the, I don't know, maybe just kind of the 30 people I kind of know that it's like, wow, that really is true. I don't know anyone that drives anything other than crossovers and SUVs and trucks anymore.
Well, right. And like I say, people's tastes change. And when the SUV came along, I don't know how many years ago, that's been 30, 35 years ago, that changed people's perception of what a station wagon type vehicle could be. And, oh my, you know, now I can get all-wheel drive and now I sit really tall. And a lot of people like being up higher because they feel safer. That's great. And I think people have decided that while I maybe used to get a Fiesta, you know, or a Cruze or whatever, the cars that have been, that are in the process of being phased out, you know, now I can get that little smaller crossover vehicle. And it's, you know, maybe 2 inches longer than my car was and 5 inches taller. And I feel like I got a little more headroom. And I will say, too, the aging of our population, which I'm part of that as well as anybody else out there, getting in and out of a crossover pretty easy, getting out and out of a car sometimes a little harder because you're down a little lower. So that's probably driving some of the people who are at retirement age or are just beyond to say, you know what, I think I'm going to go with that that Ford Edge instead of the Fusion this time.
Right. And it's interesting to note that just the sedans are kind of finding their way out, and things like the Cruze and Volt. At the same time, you know, someone like Ford has introduced a couple of new crossovers, small ones as well. Even Cadillac has a small crossover coming on the market.
Right. It used to be we had, you know, subcompact, compact, intermediate, large, and full-size cars. Now we have the same only now in crossovers. And SUVs, to be honest, most of those are either medium or large. They really don't have too many that are true SUVs that are small. Maybe a Jeep Wrangler might be as close as you could get to something like that. Everybody's got a little something to choose from. And, you know, I say, it's not like the Chevys and the Fords and Chryslers don't have any cars. They've got a few, and some of those might last longer than they even thought, because one of my thoughts is that if the Cruze and the Impala go away, then maybe some of those buyers go to a Malibu, because they still have the Malibu and they still have a Buick Regal. So, you know, that's a mid-sized car. That's kind of the meat of the market, or always has been the meat of the market. Chrysler's still got their Charger and their Chrysler 300. So that's another big car that people could get. I mean, some of us are little and we fit in a lot of cars, and some people are 6'5 and 280, and they got to get a bigger car. And I understand that. Otherwise, you're feeling all crammed in. So there's still some stuff out there. Toyota's got the Avalon. It's been around forever, and it's been a popular one. So big cars are still out there.
Yeah, I feel like the sedan is becoming a niche thing, or a coupe is a niche car rather than kind of an all-purpose, yeah.
Yeah, coupes really are, you know, the sedan is still, I think, a catch-all, but as we said, the crossovers have become the bigger catch-all for everybody.
Since we're so hyper-focused on crossovers and that's the direction, I guess two things I want to know, which is, I still find it interesting that electric cars are mainly cars. They haven't really, electric or hybrid hasn't really found its way into SUVs or crossovers. There's a few choices, but it's not as prevalent as they are with sedans. So I'm wondering if you see that changing, and then also, you know, given the SUV, compact SUV, small SUV crossover craze, and given how things change, I'm wondering how long this is going to last, and then what's the next thing going to be? Or do you think crossovers are here to stay for a while?
Well, I think crossovers are here to stay for a while. Something else will come along. It is possible that in 20 years, if I'm still alive, I'll see the fact that there's sedans are coming back because people say, why am I driving this tall vehicle and it weighs too much or something, you know, although that keeps shrinking too. And electric cars are indeed mostly cars, but there are some hybrid small either crossovers. I think of the Kia Niro as a plug-in hybrid.
Mm-hmm. And the Mitsubishi Outlander is another one.
Yeah, SUV, right, yeah, right, the Outlander. So there's, there are a couple out there, but I would anticipate we'll see plug-in hybrids coming into more and more of the crossovers and small and medium SUVs, probably come into the bigger trucks and SUVs later because people are using those to tow a lot. And, I think they just, people feel more confident in either a turbocharged 6 or a V8 to give them the power to tow the boat or the snowmobile or whatever the case behind the vehicle. And it gives them a lot of low-end torque. But I think that all that will just keep growing. It's just, you know, it's where they decide to put the hybrid parts next. And I would guess that probably mid-size crossovers and SUVs would make sense because that's a meat-of-the-market kind of thing. They don't need to be into the smallest units just yet, although I know, like say, Kia has put it in there and Hyundai also. So we'll see. I mean, I think that crossovers are here to stay. Electric is coming. Autonomous is coming. One of these days, it won't matter what we get in. It'll just be a little pod that delivers us to work every morning and we roll out of. And yeah, that sounds kind of discouraging, I guess, but nonetheless, it's coming. It's just hopefully I'm gone by then.
Actually, I have this full circle idea that once autonomous cars come back, we'll be all basically back to horse-drawn carriages. You know, these kind of things you just step up into and have, you know, very comfortable couch-like seating because, you know, you don't have to have a steering wheel. So we will have come full circle back to the age of the carriage.
Hey, you never know. And you know, maybe by then we'll be able to teleport or something, too. That'd be great.
All right. Well, that's another interview. So thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
Honey, help me pack up the station wagon. I'm eager to leave.
Mark Savage writes the auto review column Savage on Wheels for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and for SavageOnWheels.com. He's also editor of Scale Auto Magazine, part of Kalmbach Publishing in Waukesha. He joins contributor Dan Harmon regularly to talk about cars, and you can explore their past segments at WUWM.com.
Honey, go put